This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
Whether you've stayed near or traveled far, time is running out before the kids get back to school and September gets here. I'm Dennis Foley. This week, we're going in-depth on the summer travel season, how it's gone, what opportunities still exist to go, and even some nuggets to help you get the most out of your next experience. One way to travel is in the air. Chatting with CBS travel editor Peter Greenberg, and Peter... First I want to jump right into is Southwest Airlines, long known for open seat policy, free bags. We heard earlier this year that they're changing that plan, and they've been progressing through that plan to have assigned seats, paid baggage, unless you're a valued member of their either credit card or rewards program. Where are we in that transition right now for Southwest Airlines?
Well, an investor group that's now basically calling the shots at Southwest thought they were leaving too much revenue on the table. And as a result, they essentially blew up the culture of Southwest, an airline that had branded the entire airline around the idea that bags fly free, that you wouldn't have to go to your wallet to check two bags weighing up to about 50 pounds each. That's gone now. You're going to have to pay for bags. And then, of course, changing the seating configuration of the plane and the way that they board the plane. It used to be open seating, where you had, you know, boarding groups of A, B, and C. Now that's gone with assigned seating, but with assigned seating comes premium prices. So they'll take X number of seats in the front of the plane, put a little more legroom up there and charge a premium for that, scrunch up the seats in the back, but depending on how close you are to the front, there may be a premium for that. That doesn't kick in until flights that leave on about the 27th of January of 2026. But the bag rules are already in effect.
So effectively, for most consumers, Southwest starts to feel a little bit more like United and Delta and American. What's been, I guess, the consumer reaction so far? Have we seen any sort of noticeable changes in you know, how many people are flying with Southwest, or is it still too early to get a sense on that?
Well, let me run some numbers for you. You know, one of the reasons and one of the compelling reasons why so many people flew Southwest was they were able to do the math. A family of four with two bags each was saving $280 per flight by not having to check bags, or not having to pay for the bags. Now that's out the window. So we're going to have to look at the second and third quarter results as they come in to see how much they've lost market share. But remember, where are these families going to run to? Are they going to run to another airline? Maybe not. On trips of under 500 miles, that may now be a road trip for them.
So, you know, now that Southwest is more comparable to the legacy airlines or, you know, the typical airline, I mean, what other options or maybe what are some features that other airlines offer that maybe most consumers aren't really aware of that maybe, again, not going to be the same as what you got with Southwest, but hey, you know, JetBlue, is that going to be a different experience for them that they may enjoy? Maybe some other airline, I mean, throw in Frontier or Spirit. Hey, it's different, but is that better?
Well, it all gets down to the credit cards you're using, because in many cases, by paying that annual fee of a credit card or a particular card allied with an airline, your treatment is less bad, if I can put it in those terms. And what I mean by that is, you know, a credit card might give you a free check bag, or maybe even two free check bags. It might give you some other perks that you know, in terms of how many frequent flyer points you get per dollar spent. Of course, good luck trying to redeem those points, but that's where it's all getting to. The ancillary fees and the ancillary benefits, some of which are questionable, but you're only going to be getting them now through the affiliated credit cards.
So let's broaden out a little bit. Airlines overall, how would you say the airlines are doing so far this year, both for the companies themselves, but also from the aviation economy?
Well, the airlines are doing okay, but they're not doing as well as they thought they were going to be doing. And part of that can be tied to the optics of the Trump administration with tariff and trade wars, immigration policies, and some fear, not just among Americans, but mostly among foreigners who are worried about coming to America, the optics of thinking they'd either be detained or deported if they didn't pass muster. So as a result, we've seen a significant drop in foreign travelers to the U.S. this summer. From some countries, it's been as high as about 36%. That's significant. From Canada, it's been over 40% who've chosen not to come here. They're going somewhere else instead. Doesn't mean people are stopping traveling. It means they're making a choice to travel somewhere else. And of course, if there are fewer people coming here, that means there are more empty seats going there. And for the first time in recent memory, a lot of summer travel deals for overseas flights are starting to pop up that would never normally happen during the high season.
So let's go through some of those potential deals that people can find out there, whether it's for a last minute summer trip or even looking to fall. I mean, what are some potentially surprising deals that people could find out there?
Well, for example, if you want to go to Europe, you know, July and August are usually tough, but this year, August and September are pretty wide open. We were coming back from London just, 2 weeks ago with my production team, and everybody in coach had their own row. That's unheard of. So you're seeing some pop-up airfares, not on every flight and not for every seat, but they're there because the airlines are trying to raise incremental revenue.
Now, are we seeing this primarily with Europe, or are there other parts like maybe Asia or even domestically? Are we seeing any similar trends there, or is it primarily the transatlantic flights?
Well, domestic is another interesting issue because this is the summer of domestic travel for most Americans. A lot of them decided, because of everything I already mentioned, plus maybe an uncertain economy, to defer some longer trips and to stay within the continental U.S., which means they're going to be traveling within the continental U.S., either by car or by plane. However, those numbers still aren't as high as they would normally be, and we're seeing $29 and $35 fares in some cases by airlines trying to generate whatever traffic they can.
So we're probably having a month left of summer, I guess business summer, if you will. What are some ideas for people that, hey, you got a month, you know, to, you know, whether it's back to school or just before Labor Day, that would be a good travel idea? Maybe a quick vacation, a weekend trip, maybe a week long. What are some trends that you're seeing that maybe people should jump on?
Well, I'll go with two things. One, the cruise industry. There's a lot of excess capacity with cruise ships. You know, the shipyards were not idle during COVID. A lot of new ships coming out. That's a lot of cabins to fill, a lot of last minute sales there as well. And you're going to find that not just in August and September, but you'll find that through the rest of this year. But the real key is not August or Labor Day. It's the magic month of September. First of all, the weather is great just about everywhere. The crowds have diminished. You're not going to be stuck with over-tourism issues, and the fairs will reflect that.
Now, speaking of over-tourism, it's been a little bit of a hot topic, I think especially in Mexico City, but I'm sure this happens in other places where locals aren't, or I don't want to say they're not happy with tourists, but they're feeling a little pushed out. Is this a rising trend that we're seeing in certain parts of the world or even certain parts of the country?
You're seeing it in so many places right now, but it's a double-edged sword because of the very locations where the locals are so upset with over-tourism. If you look at the numbers, it's travel and tourism that contributes the bulk to its GDP. And without that, their economy would flatten. So you're looking for a middle ground. Now, some locations like Venice and Rome have tried to institute special fees and surcharges for people on a daily basis. They even did this as recently as last year, where Venice was charging effectively a 5 euro fee if you couldn't prove you had a hotel reservation, and they're trying to get rid of all the day trippers. Guess what happened? The people paid the fee anyway. So this year they doubled it to 10 euros. And guess what happened? The people came anyway. So what they're trying to do now is to figure out a way to extend the season and basically be a contrarian in terms of their scheduling to make it very, very attractive to go off-season, which I think is a great idea. In most cases, the off-season is a myth anyway, and that's what they're trying to do there. But you're seeing in other jurisdictions, cities passing ordinances, city councils passing rules that have nothing to do with fees and taxes, but restrictions on any new hotel room building, any new apartment rentals. Of course, that's really being aimed at the Airbnb crowd. And you're seeing we're talking Amsterdam and Barcelona and some other locations that are really trying to clamp down.
And post-pandemic, there was this big surge in, or I guess I don't say surge, but hunger in traveling. Have we seen that wane a bit? Is it still persistent? What's the appetite for traveling post-pandemic now that we're a few years out from that?
Well, the term you heard post-pandemic, which I think was misleading, was revenge travel, that people were so cooped up for a while, they just couldn't wait to get back. And I disagree with that. It was refocused and repurposed travel because most Americans made a choice that during the pandemic, they were no longer interested as much in material items, new clothing, new jewelry, new cars, real estate. They put that on hold because they felt, they got up close and personal with their own sense of mortality. And therefore, they took all that money that was in the bucket list for those other things and just moved it over to travel. And to a certain extent, that's still going on today. We saw a lot more multi-generational travel, families traveling together. We saw more extended trips, business trips being extended into leisure trips. And that's still going on.
So we're about a month away from Labor Day weekend. Maybe some people don't have plans yet. For someone looking to make the most of their Labor Day weekend, what are your recommendations for someone here in the Bay Area to go and use that weekend for?
Well, this is not the time to go to Hawaii. This is not if you're looking for a deal. This is not the time to go to Los Angeles or even stay in San Francisco. Look at the parts of the country that don't get a lot of love but have so much to offer. And for domestic travel, that's Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana. Unbelievably great experiences there that most Americans don't even know about, that are affordable, that you can do in 3 and 4 days. Or from the San Francisco Bay Area, just get out a map. And within 350 miles of where you are right now, there are great destinations you can go to that are not going to be overcrowded. And I'm not talking about Lake Tahoe. And where you can do it in a manageable 3 or 4 day road trip and not have to mortgage your house to do it.
All right. And before I let you go, kind of want to know, pick your brain a little bit. Give me somewhere that people aren't thinking of. It doesn't have to be a weekend trip. Could be, a week, 2 weeks, someplace on the globe that you're like, hey, you may not know this place, but you should check it out.
Well, I'm gonna get a little crazy on you here because there's a place that most folks have never heard of, and it's called the Island of St. Helen. It's St. Helena, actually. And where is it? No, it's not Mount St. Helens. It's right smack dab in the middle of the South Atlantic Ocean between Africa and South America. It's a British overseas territory. And for the history buffs out there, that's where Napoleon was exiled. A lot of people think he was exiled to Elba. Guess what? He was, but he escaped. And then he fought the British at the Battle of Waterloo, and he lost. And the British were so angry at him, they said, we're going to send you to the one place you're never going to escape. They were right. It was St. Helena. He got there in 1815. He died in 1821. But it's a remarkable location. And they now have an airport. They actually have one flight a week. And you can go and talk about bragging rights to your friends. It's a great experience.
I mean, what would people go and do there? Is it like more of a relaxation type thing, or is it more of a history tour?
It's history, it's outdoor activities, it's water sports, it's fishing, and of course, you get to go see Napoleon's house at the same time. He's no longer buried there. The arch conservative Napoleon fans finally convinced the government of England, which controls that island, to return his body to France, but that was only a couple of years ago. But the bottom line is the stories are still as rich today as they ever were, and it's well worth a visit.
All right. Well, I'll put that on my radar. Thanks so much, Peter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's not over yet, but the end of the summer travel season is just around the corner. Hotel Council of San Francisco President Alex Bastian joins us now. How has summer tourism been this year in San Francisco?
You know, when we look at the numbers this year compared to last, things are heading in the right direction. And what's so great about San Francisco right now is that everyone's working together to put our city first. And for our city to truly come back better and stronger than before, we're going to need hospitality and we're going to need travel. These are so important for the well-being of our city. The city really benefits so much from it through the tax base and through that civic pride. When people come here and experience what San Francisco has to offer, and while we're at it, it's not just San Francisco, it's the whole Bay Area. We all shine bright on the world stage when San Francisco does well.
So what have been some of the positive trends so far this summer, maybe compared to recent summers, whether it's tourism or just hotels, just the business cycle, if you will, of San Francisco?
Well, I'm really excited for Dead & Company coming to town, I believe next week. And we are going to see people come in just specifically to see Dead & Company. We love that concert. We love the people that come to our city to get that experience from that event. And, you know, what we're really kind of focusing in on right now, because we have seen, of course, a lot of uncertainty when it comes to the tariffs and travel from abroad. Of course, our city being an international city, first and foremost, being the gateway to Asia, what we've seen as a positive in light of all of that and in light of the things that we're seeing on an international stage is a lot more domestic travel. And we have to lean into that right now. But more than needing to do that, we should want to do that. And it's a great time for people to fall in love with our city again. It's a great time for a staycation again. And if you live in the Bay Area, or if you live in the Northern or Southern California areas, if you're in the driving distance of our city, come check out what our city has to offer.
So what have you seen from the tourists that do come to the city? Is it, you know, the typical sights and scenery that, you know, we've historically thought of with San Francisco that they want to check out? Or is it a different, not necessarily the type of crowd, but type of experience that our visitors are seeking out?
Well, first and foremost, the overwhelming majority of people I speak to that come visit our city from driving distance say, wow, this city is in much better shape than I thought. This city is doing a lot better than I expected. And really, they're having a great time here. We have some amazing shows, concerts, two world-class sports teams right here in the heart of San Francisco, whether it be the Warriors or the Giants. We love both teams very much. You know, we are seeing that people come here and they're falling in love with San Francisco. They are leaving their heart here again, like Tony Bennett said. And that's what's great about it, because it's great for our civic pride, but it's also great for the tax base. And the other thing that I think a lot of people are coming in for is our culinary achievements here, our food, and of course, the traditional experiences that are our sights and scenes.
So what are some things, and you know, it could be just different pockets, businesses, economic pockets, if you will, of tourism. Have there been some elements of the tourism industry that maybe has softened a bit? Maybe people aren't, you know, doing this activity or doing that activity as they once did, and instead doing something else.
We are still on a journey of recovery, and we are heading in the right direction. I feel very good about where we will be, especially in a few years. But on that journey, it has been competitive. And last year was the worst year on the books for decades. And, you know, the reality of the situation is that this city is an international city. We're heavily reliant on travel, specifically from Asia, but also from our neighbors to the north and south, Mexico and Canada. And although people are still coming here because we have a very resilient airport with great airlift, I have to give a shout out to SFO, the best airport in the country. We, of course, are still not feeling that full recovery from international travel. And so what I think that has resulted in is this hyper-competitive, hyper-resilient industry that is hospitality. And you know what's great right now, the positive of this is the price point is wonderful for domestic travel. If you are in a position to invite your friends and family and you don't want them to come to your home, you want them to stay at a hotel, well, guess what? They're going to get a great rate right now. And honestly, I think the city is looking better than I can think of in recent memory. So it's a great time for people to really fall in love with our city, especially if you live outside of San Francisco, but within the Bay Area. Come to the city, do a staycation, enjoy a show, enjoy a great meal, take a break from your monotone daily life and do something like spur of the moment and just come to the city and check it out for a weekend.
So you talk about competition. You know, there are lots of places for people to go. You know, where have you in your role here in San Francisco seen some of that competition? What are some places that maybe people have gone to? Maybe you would like to bring people from, not necessarily where they live, but hey, maybe instead of, you know, going to this city, come to San Francisco instead. You know, what are some of those competitive aspects that you and your organization are looking to tap into to get people here?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, when it comes to the hotels, they all do things unique and narrowly tailored to the visitor, right? Some of the hotels really cater to pet-friendly services. Other hotels really cater to specific sports teams and the people visiting for an away game or for a home game, really. You know, it's really interesting how that competition has really made everyone perform better. And, you know, hard times create strong people and strong, resilient industries. And our city, believe it or not, has been through it all. I've seen this so many times before. I saw this after the 89 earthquake and the two tech bubbles. And every time people count us out, and every time as soon as this city engages in common sense and civic pride, we come back better and stronger than before. That's what I pride myself on as a San Franciscan. And we are on that journey again. We are going to come back better and stronger than before. I'm willing to bet anyone any amount of money on that. And it's going to start with hospitality, and it's going to start with travel. And I think we're experiencing that renaissance today.
So what would you say is the key, you know, for this resiliency of San Francisco? Why, you know, as you mentioned, two tech bubbles, 89. What is it with San Francisco that is able to be that draw from a tourism perspective?
You know, the biggest gift we have in San Francisco are San Franciscans. I think the people of our great city are engaging in common sense again. We want the best for our city. We want this city to thrive. We want to be true to our principles, but we also know that we need to do certain things to keep pushing forward with this positive momentum. And we've seen the steps in the city around clean streets, safe streets, and a little bit more business friendliness. And again, we're going to be true to our principles as San Franciscans, but we're also going to want the best for our city. And we have a way of doing both of those things at the same time. And I've seen this before, and it's when our city went into a golden age right thereafter. And so we're heading there again. We need, of course, this goose that lays the golden egg, that is hospitality, to shine bright and to thrive. In fact, we're the biggest tax contributor now for the last 3 or 4 decades of our city. But we also want tech to thrive. We love tech. And we want all the industries to thrive. We want arts and culture to thrive. We want our sports teams to win, right? We want San Francisco to win. And what's great about all of this is when our industry does well, the city does well. When the other industries do well, the city does well. We all do well.
So what are some of the hurdles? You know, we're still kind of in this, I don't know if you want to call it post-COVID recovery period, you know, broader challenges. What are some of the hurdles that, you know, may be keeping, and I don't know if it is keeping, but hypothetically, let's say it is keeping the city from achieving what it seeks from the tourism industry? Are there challenges with just, is it a narrative thing? Is it a, you know, a practical thing that, hey, you know, maybe we're not as sexy, if you will, as maybe we have been before, or maybe people just don't realize it?
Well, I think what we have to realize is we still have a lot of work to do, and we need all hands on deck. We need each and every San Franciscan to do their part, and we need to work together to put our city first. And when we do that, by the way, as I said earlier, we're unstoppable, but we still have a lot of work to do, and we still need to keep pushing as though this is still kind of like 2022, right? And the reason for that is because we need to be even more competitive. And I know that this journey is one where we all kind of have been on, and it could be, you know, tiring sometimes, right? But I see that we're almost at the end of this tunnel, and I see the light, and it's right there. And now more than ever is when we need the biggest push, right? And what does that look like? Well, we just need each and every San Franciscan to keep doing their part, whatever that may be, right? Part of it is just continuing to work on engaging in civic pride. Part of it is, of course, to keep pushing forward around the three basic pillars that we need, clean streets, safe streets, a little bit more business friendliness. And part of it is to counteract the narrative. And I think on all of those fronts, we've done a lot. I think San Franciscans are really the driving factor to this. But we just need to keep pushing now more than ever, because now is the time that's going to really benefit us the most when we push even more.
So we're closing in on, I would say, the final month of summer leading into Labor Day. Let's say you're a listener out there and you're like, hey, this final month before Labor Day, I want to go do something. I want to make the most of what's left of quote unquote summer. What should people do here in San Francisco? What are some things that maybe people aren't thinking of that they might be like, hey, you know what? Let's spend the weekend up in San Francisco.
There's so many things to do, and that's the beautiful thing. And it all depends on what you like to do, right? If you like the arts, if you like the outdoors, if you like great food, if you like great coffee, if you like architecture, for example, if you want to get on a cable car, if you enjoy the bison in Golden Gate Park, there are so many things for you to do based on your tastes and preferences. That's the beautiful thing about San Francisco. There's something here for everyone. And one thing that I think you should do is not even think too much about it. Just say, hey, I'm going to go to San Francisco tomorrow. And just take a look at all the things that are happening in the city, right? That's the beautiful thing about this city. There's so many like weird, positive, cool things to do that you can't really experience anywhere else. And when you leave here, you're gonna say, wow, that was totally unexpected. There's a beauty to that too.
That's Hotel Council of San Francisco President Alex Bastian. I'm Dennis Foley. This has been KCBS In Depth.
You've been listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.